Well, good morning, Bridgeway. Welcome to Church Online. We're so glad that you tuned in to visit with us this morning. We're so disappointed that we can't be together, but we're going to make the most of this. We're going to make the best of this situation. As your pastor, I miss you guys so much. I love you guys. I'm going to give you a fist bump and a virtual hug. And I want to let you know, too, our elders and our staff, we have been praying for you. We've been praying that God would meet your every need during this very difficult season. Also, I want to tell you that we care about your kids. We want to come alongside of them and their spiritual journey as well. I want to thank Michelle Williams and her team. They've pulled together some wonderful resources to guide your kids spiritually during this time, videos and curriculum, and you can check all that out as well. But I want to talk to you this morning about this idea of control. How many of you feel like things have just gotten just a little bit out of control? In fact, take just a moment and I want you to make a self-assessment of how you're doing in this whole idea of control, kind of on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being on the real low end, you'd say, Pastor, you know what? I am completely out of control. I've lost control in this time. Or up to a level 10. You say, you know what? This virus, it hasn't affected me in the least. I am in complete control of my environment. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to guess that most of you kind of fall on the lower end of that scale. I mean, it feels like life has just been put on hold. So many things have been canceled or postponed. I found out this week that a wedding that I was planning to do has been postponed. I felt so bad for that bride and all the logistics and all of her hopes and dreams that are getting changed in the season. I mean, your restaurants are closed. Your gym is closed. You can't even get a roll of toilet paper in this town, right? And it really raises this question. Some of you might have already come to this conclusion of asking yourself, hey, how much control did I really have before all of this? And I think it begins to point at something that isn't really a question of control. It's what I would call the illusion of control. I think you come into a time like this and you begin to realize some things. And the human heart begins to long for something, for someone that is in control. And that's exactly what Jesus came to give us. I want to jump right into things this morning. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I would love to have you turn to John chapter 15. We're going to begin a brand new series today called I Am Jesus. And we're going to be looking at statements that Jesus makes about who he is and the hope that that offers to those of us who follow him. He makes 7 distinct statements called the I Am statements, and they point to who he is, his identity, and what our hope and our identity can be as well. And the first one we're going to look at is found in John chapter 15. Now, this statement that Jesus makes, he makes to a group of his friends, the disciples, and they're all gathered together around a dinner table. They're kind of having what I would call dinner conversation. You're probably maybe finding yourself eating together in your home a whole lot more these days. And you're probably having some conversation around that table, conversation about, oh, I don't know, maybe the weather or geovirus or things going on in the world today. And it might feel kind of uncertain around your table. That's exactly the kind of conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. He's just shared with them the Last Supper, and in just a few moments, he's about to leave and go off into the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's going to prove to be a very challenging time for those who are following Jesus. Because Jesus has told them that things are going to get worse before they get better. That things are going to get really uncertain. Jesus is going to be, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be tried unfairly. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be flogged. And then he's going to be hung on a cross. And it's in that moment of uncertainty, Jesus gives these words. Now, Jesus is looking at these disciples and he says, no longer am I just your teacher, that we are friends. And he looks at these friends and he knows that one of them is going to betray him and that another is going to deny him 3 times. And every single one of his disciples are going to abandon him in the time he needs them the most. And yet he still gives them these words of hope and comfort. So in John chapter 15, starting in verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. These are some of the most beautiful words ever spoken. And it's in a time of uncertainty, a time of confusion, a time where people kind of forget and lose their minds. It's kind of crazy what a difference a week makes. I mean, just imagine for a moment this time and thinking about how different your life was. I mean, Jesus here in this moment is talking about how life can get turned upside down and it can really mess with you. In fact, I was thinking about how, for some people, how this has really changed their goals in life. I mean, did you have some goals in life before this whole virus thing broke out? I mean, maybe you go back and you had some goals around New Year's, right? Those bad ideas, those New Year's resolutions. You had some goals before this time about maybe some relationship goals or some financial goals or even some spiritual goals. And you can kind of forget all those goals in a time like this. You can kind of start to think, well, you know, this was going to be my year. 2019 was such a bad year, and 2020, I'm going to have 2020 vision this year, you started saying to yourself. And now that's just completely, completely changed. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that goals are really important, because goals, what they do is they filter for us what's important in life. Because not everything can be important. If everything is important, then nothing is that important. So I believe in goals, and I think goals should be challenging. They should be stretching. Maybe even they're a little bit fun and crazy at times. You should have some goals in life. I want to tell you, sometimes you guys think I'm crazy because I like to run Ironman races, but I want to introduce you to someone who is actually way crazier than me. I want to introduce you to my sister-in-law, Shanna. Now, she thought it would be a good idea to jump out of an airplane. And not only kudos to her, but kudos to my brother-in-law. He signed her up for this event. Who knew that you could sign your wife up to jump out of an airplane? I never knew that. This was only the half of it. Not only did she jump out of a perfectly good airplane, but when she landed and hit the ground, the race had just begun. She then ran a 14-mile road race through an alligator-infested swamp to the finish line. Again, you think I'm crazy? I want to dedicate this message to all the crazy sister-in-laws out there. You know who you are, right? What Jesus gives for us is this reminder that no matter how crazy this goal that you think in life is, the one goal is to stay connected to him. In fact, he says this in one verse, John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, isn't that strange? That word nothing takes on a whole new meaning today, doesn't it? Nothing. Amen, Pastor. Seems like there's a whole lot of nothing going on. My kids are bored. They're complaining that there's nothing to do. I can't find anything. There's nothing to watch on TV. It can just feel like a lot of nothing, like a lot has been lost. We've lost our social connection because of social distancing. Some people have lost jobs. Wall Street has lost trillions of dollars. And we're doing, as a church, everything we can to maintain this spiritual, so we don't lose our spiritual connection as a community. And Jesus says these words. They're so dramatic. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So dramatic. And yet, the strange thing about these words is it's a paradox, right? I mean, remain in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's kind of the paradox we find ourselves in today. Like, right now, we're doing nothing, but nothing, it turns out, is everything, right? I mean, keeping our distance and the abundance of caution that we're providing each other, is everything in preventing the spread of this virus. Jesus is saying the same thing with our spiritual lives. Apart from me, you can do nothing but remain in me, and it could mean everything. Turns out that with Jesus, nothing is everything. I was trying to think about this in a way to relate it to you and to me today, and we feel like everything's been taken from us, but I was thinking about how there's one thing that we haven't lost yet. And some of you, you're not going to like it when I say this. You're going to be mad at me for saying this. But just imagine with me for a moment. Imagine if we lost our internet connection. Ah, some of you are like, stop, don't say that, Pastor. Others of you are like, oh, this is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, this would be Netflix purgatory and Instagram catastrophe, right? Like, apart from broadband internet connection, I can do nothing, Pastor. And that's what Jesus is saying. Apart from me, you can really truly do nothing. That is your lifeblood. That is your connection. Now, I don't want to lose internet either for a lot of reasons. One, I like how we're able to stay connected this way. It's not ideal, but like I said, we're making the most, the best of it. And I got to tell you, what if God is using this time to reach people that would never step foot into a church? You know, last week, the message I put out actually reached four times as many people in views than normally gather for church on Sunday morning. I said in that message that God never wastes a crisis, and neither should we. What if God is using this kind of as the countercultural invasion of the gospel to reach people that in this time are searching for answers, searching for a place to put uncertain lives, uncertain hearts, troubled souls? What if God is using just this time and even this format to reach people? I mean, come on, Bridgeway. If you're a follower of Jesus, you knew this all along, right? I mean, you knew that Jesus was really all you truly had. And now you get the incredible opportunity to walk in that reality of a life so close, so connected, where Jesus is everything. Apart from him, you truly can do nothing. What if God is using this time where you feel like you're in solitary confinement to give you solidarity in your walk with him? What if God is doing that for you and in you? But he says in order for that to happen, he says you have to stay connected into this lifeblood of a relationship that is vital, that you remain in me, Jesus says. And it's such a beautiful picture of a garden, isn't it? That God, as the Heavenly Father, is this gardener, and he's tending his garden, and he, through Jesus, is saying that Jesus is the vine and you are the branches, and if you remain in Jesus, that you will bear much fruit. It's a picture of a garden. And some of you may not like that. You may think, you know, wait a minute, I'm in control. I mean, I am the vine. And Jesus says, no, you're not. You're not the vine. You are the branch. But staying connected to me, you can bear this fruit, but you have to remain in me. All throughout this verse, he uses this word remain over and over. You must stay connected. It's really a picture of attachment. Staying connected to the vital source that can nourish you and sustain you. You know, I've been kind of keeping track and I've been watching how the church, this church Bridgeway, has inspired me in so many ways recently to see how you have all chosen to kind of take this time and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, because you're remaining, and because of that, you're bearing fruit. I've been taking note of just some of the things that I've observed, seen online, and heard stories about. Just a few things. Things like this. I've noticed more people sharing scripture with others. Might be online, might be on Facebook. I've noticed, too, just people reaching out, whether it's texting or calling, and saying these words, how can I pray for you? I've gotten so many text messages from people saying, hey, Pastor, I'm just thinking of you during this time. How can I pray for you? I just love seeing that. I've noticed that people are using their influence to channel good. I noticed someone online was able to kind of use their influence to start a fundraiser for a nonprofit that is a food bank and cares for kids who rely on that organization for food and sustenance. I mean, offers from people to say, hey, you know what? My home is clean. My home is disinfected. If you've got to go to work and you've lost your daycare, let me know. I'll watch your kids for you. I've noticed small groups coming together. They've been coming together in ways over technology, over Zoom, and also coming together and saying, let's come alongside of those who are vulnerable right now. And maybe even those who are isolated, coming alongside of shut-ins and just caring for them. I've noticed people saying, you know what, I'm going to the store, pray for me. But while I'm there, let me know if you need me to pick up chicken and toilet paper. Who would have thought those two things on the grocery list together? I want to tell you, Bridgeway, way to go. Keep at it. Keep sharing this message and being this fruit in our world of just blessing other people. I also want to say, if you're out there right now and you're the type of person that you're in need, now is not a time to be proud. That now is a time to allow the church to truly be the church. I said many times, I fully believe that the church, the local church, is the hope of the world. And now we get to be that. If the people of God right now are those who can have this compassion and care for those around them. And if the people of God are not that compassion and care, then it's not the church that Jesus died for. So if you're in need, just simply let us know. We want to come alongside of you as a community of faith. But all of this happens because we choose to remain connected to God. Notice it doesn't say strive in Jesus or do in Jesus. It just says remain. And this needs to be something that fuels our time, our quiet time, our time of thinking, our time of worrying. Remain in Jesus. That word remain in the Greek language is the word meno. It oftentimes gets translated remain or abide, but I think what gets lost in translation is that word remain actually carries with it kind of a sense of deep knowing, not knowing at kind of a surface level, but how remaining is actually knowing at a really deep, intimate level. There are kind of two ways of knowing. There's a way of knowing where we know a lot of facts about somebody, kind of factual head knowledge. And then the other way of knowing is what I would call kind of a deeper and intimate level of knowing. And that's more from our heart, knowing someone at a really deep level. Let me try to explain this. I mean, let's say you didn't know Pastor Ron and his family, and I tried to describe for you my family. Here's a picture of my family. Now, my family doesn't love this picture, but I love my family. In fact, they're probably seeing this picture that I'm using for the first time on Sunday morning, sitting together in our living room watching this sermon. I love you guys. I wanted to show you, what if I describe my family? And all I did is I just used factual head knowledge, things I've observed about them. If I said something like, oh, this is my daughter, Anne Marie. She is 157.48 centimeters tall. And that tall child over there, that's my son, Brennan. He wears a shoe size of 11 and a half. My other daughter, Aislinn, she is 5,842 days old. Some of you would be listening to this, you'd be saying, is that how Pastor Ron introduces his family? He is weirder than we even thought. Now, what if I describe my family and instead of just using facts, I actually could tell you something because of what I've seen in their character, in the depths of who God has uniquely created them to be. If I were to say, this is my wife, Shawn. I've known her for over 30 years. I mean, the moment I first saw her, it was love at first sight as juniors in high school back at Rockford High. And I could tell you that I know my wife, and I can tell you that I've never met another individual who is so selfless and compassionate and caring, never looking for anything in return. Or if I said, oh, that's my son, Bryson. And factually, he did just turn 16 the other day. But what I've seen is an inner strength that God has woven in him. And boy, I gotta tell you, he has become a culinary wizard in the kitchen. Amazing what the kid can cook up. And oh, that younger kid on the end, that small one, that's my son Braylon. And I'll just say this, when it comes to compassion and concern for others, he is only surpassed by his mother. He has such a deep care for others. Now, do you see the difference? Factual head knowledge or intimate, deep heart knowledge? See, if all you do is just observe and kind of take notes from a distance, think about that. What do we call someone who observes someone else and just makes notes from a distance? We call that person a stalker, right? And I want to ask you, Bridgeway, this morning, when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, are you just stalking Jesus? Or do you know Jesus at a real deep, intimate level? I mean, a layer that has been developed because of the time and the conversation and the intimacy that you've developed with him. I was traveling a few weeks ago, and there's one image that just cannot escape my mind. And in fact, it was a conversation that I overheard in the airport. I'm in LAX airport, crowded and full of people concerned about the virus. And I couldn't help but notice this mother and her young daughter. And they were sitting just next to me, and I was listening in on a conversation that the daughter and the mother were having. I was eavesdropping. I'm not proud of that, but stick with me for a moment, because it was a really good conversation. See, it turns out that this little girl, about 4 years old, was concerned about the plane trip that she was going to be taking with her mom. And she looked out the window and she saw the big plane and she said, "Mommy, that's a big plane. Do we have one big plane ride and then one short plane ride before we get to grandma's?" And the mother said, "No, sweetie, we have one big plane and then another big plane and then a small plane before we get to grandma's." I started thinking, just family traveling like halfway around the world? And the little girl said, "Oh, okay, so one long trip and then another long trip and then a short trip and then we get to see grandma." And the mommy said, "Yes, dear, that's how it's going to be." And all this time, she's not only having this conversation, but this mother is taking eggs out of a carton from a fast food restaurant. And with her fork, she is feeding the little girl these eggs. And it's like one bite for the daughter and then another bite for the daughter. And then this is how you know you're a mom. Then she takes with the same fork and she takes a bite of eggs and then another bite for the daughter. Only a mom could do that, right? But the part I'll never forget is in this whole conversation, the little girl then says these words. She says, "Mommy, can I sit on your lap on the plane ride?" And the mommy said, "Sweetie, oh, you can sit on my lap on all the plane rides until we get to grandma's." And I thought that is exactly the picture of what it means to remain in him. To just curl up into your Heavenly Father's lap, to be fed, to be nourished, and to have a conversation with the one who is in complete control, even in times like this. Some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, "Well, come on, Pastor. I mean, how do I have an intimate, close relationship with an invisible God?" I would say, probably, don't try so hard. That actually, having an intimate relationship with God is maybe easier than you might imagine. In fact, it's no coincidence that time after time, this idea of being a child is so close to the scriptures and how we're to relate to God. In fact, God calls us, if you follow Jesus, he calls us his sons and his daughters. And Jesus would teach this in a way that he would say, "Don't do anything to prevent the kids from coming to me. Let the little children come to me." And if you want to truly have great faith, then you need to have faith like a child. Over and over again, this invitation is not one of challenge or difficulty. It's one of being like a child and saying, "I'm going to go to the one who I know can get me through any day, every day, and these days." I think that what Jesus would say to those of you right now who just find yourself dealing with a lot of worry and a lot of concerns over this virus, he would just simply say, "Remain." I think what God would want you to hear this morning, if you're worried about job and transition and the areas of life that might be concerning to you, that he would again just say, remain. If you're struggling in your parenting, because that doesn't change during a virus, right? Or maybe you're struggling and about to throw in the towel on your marriage. I know that what God would want you to hear this morning are the words, remain. Remain in me. To just simply draw to the one who offers grace and mercy and assurance at all times. That is the hope that we have, that we can give up this illusion of control if we can find ourselves firmly gripped by the one who is in control. I want to just pray for you for a moment. So if you could bow your head and pray with me together. Father God, this is truly a holy time because this is time that you have gathered, you have called us to. And this is not a time to be fearful, but a time to hold on with all of our strength in a God that we know has everything under his command. God, I want to pray for those that are within the sound of my voice that are just hearing these words. And what's dominating their narrative, their life right now is just this fear, this worry, this anxiety over the days. And I pray, God, I pray that your calming spirit would rest deep in their souls. God, I pray more than that. I pray that this would be a time of boldness in following after you, that we would not be distracted, but that we would be unified as one faith, leading others into this relationship, this gift of grace that you give us, God. God, the one thing we have to do with control is the one thing you require, that we would just surrender, that we would surrender that control to you, and that we would truly crawl into your lap and be fed and protected and nourished by you. We thank you for that truth. I pray, God, that truth can become the truth that others hear and witness in our lives. We love you and we thank you. Amen. God bless you, Bridgeway. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Take care.